Welcome back to Disney Dependent. I'm Sarah Chilcott.
And I'm...
Loud.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah!
Mel Gibson. Okay.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
And he screams something in Gaelic. Abravravraba! Abracadabra!
Kalima.
Kalima shuktidi. Havam chavai. Havam chavai.
Not even close to the same movie.
Not at all.
Nonsense.
Same shit. Well, we're back.
We're back.
You're back. At the top of the show, you know, I wanted to get real with you guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little hot and clammy right now. It got way steamy in this room. Mm-hmm. We're in a very small room. We've been podding for a while. This stuff in Israel sucks. That's all. I just want to say it sucks.
And yeah, it does.
We love ya.
That's why you said Mel Gibson.
No, actually. Oh. That is hilarious. Oh my God, Ashley. That's good. Maybe subconsciously that's what tied it in. His anti-Semitic rants. Now, anyone suffering out there, if you're related to both sides of this conflict, our hearts are out to you. That is just horrendous. I couldn't even imagine.
Truly.
And if you're not in the middle of a conflict like that, thank your lucky stars that you won the geographic lottery.
Yeah. And also, go give blood.
Go give blood.
Because you may not be helping anyone directly there, but there's a blood shortage. So.
Yeah, dude.
Go. And I'm saying that from someone who's not going, because I keep forgetting.
Can't we all just get along? Jeez. So stupid. You know what we should do? Speaking of conflicts. We should start...
A fight club.
Full-on war against the Walt Disney World people.
No.
Wait, no. I actually kind of like Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
now.
I don't want to fight them.
Yeah, I want to befriend them.
I want them to love me.
Yeah, that does sound more appropriate. We are in the middle of the spooky dookie season. Spooky dookie? That makes it sound like a scary poop.
Yeah.
I had a scary poop this
morning. You know, I was going to say, we were just talking about the horrible things we've eaten.
I need stool softener, I think. It was way too hard. Dude, it was like giving birth this morning. It was horrendous.
That's one spooky dookie.
Did Ashley rub your back?
No. But get this. After I went, I had a shiver. I flushed. I go, ugh. I was like, oh, that's not healthy. Drink some more water, guy.
We are a bathroom podcast after all.
Yeah, well, I hope you're regular. There's nothing like being regular. It changes your life.
I am definitely not. But
me neither. I've never been.
No, never.
Oh, yeah, yay.
I don't eat any vegetables anymore. I mean to, but I just don't.
I know. Oh. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's
we're tough. A bathroom podcast, and we are also a weather podcast.
And also,
it's still 67 and partly cloudy at not Disneyland.
And it's still perfect 80 and sunny at Disneyland. Damn. Actually, on the hot side.
Yeah, it's a little
warm. Approaching hot, especially in October.
Yeah, we don't need it.
It's the day before Halloween when this comes out.
Ooh.
We're celebrating. It's spooky, it's ookie. James has the dookie.
Yeah. Spooky ookie. Spooky ookie dookie.
And I wrote Smorgasween as the topic for today.
I love it.
That's a new Halloween character.
Yes. Smorgasween. So we're all kind of just bringing our own crap that we wanted to talk about Halloween.
For the spooky season. It's been fun, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot. We went to, we went to Disneyland with Sarah here and Michelle and our other friend Chelsea and Hayden and his different. We did Disneyland proper, which was totally themed out for Halloween. Then the next day we did Oogie Boogie Bash, which is obviously Halloween. And then you guys left. And then we had Katie come to Long Beach and we went to Knott's Scary Farm, Knott's Berry Farm, which is highly recommend doing that. And then, what else did we do in Cal? We did, you guys went to the Mystic Museum.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just lots and lots of horror movies.
Lots of horror movies.
I have done nothing except for our Disney stuff.
That's something.
But I will.
But you did that.
I'm planning to.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Well, I think that probably for everyone, the number one thing you think of with Halloween is pumpkins.
Yeah.
Right? Jack-o'-lanterns.
Jacko.
Anybody ever wondered why do we carve pumpkins?
Don't remember. Did we cover the jack? Something to do with the jack-o'-lantern?
I'm sure we did at some point.
But I don't remember.
Because this was all very familiar to me when I was reading it.
It's something Irish, right?
It is. Yeah. So it's actually starting in like medieval England in like the 1930s. Sorry. Medieval England until the 1930s.
Okay.
There was a thing called souling. And it's basically where we get trick-or-treating.
Yes, that's
right. So the idea was that people would bake these cakes. They called them soul cakes. And they kind of looked like a hot cross bun.
Is it soul, like soul?
S-O-U-L.
Okay,
yeah. Souling. But it's also spelled S-O-A-L. I'm sure that's just some different form of the same word. Yeah.
Sure.
And they would bake these little cakes. They were about the size of like a... like a cinnamon roll or something like that, kind of a shortbread cookie cake thing. And it had kind of an X in the middle of it with berries, currants, things like that.
Yeah.
And they called them soul cakes. And they would have them at their door, just like trick-or-treaters do candy now, where people would come and they would sing a little song and whatever and promise to pray for the people at the door and their loved ones who were thought to be in purgatory.
Oh, weird.
And in exchange for a prayer, they would get a cake. And it, you know, has evolved over years and years and years where now it's not giving a cake for
prayer. Was this
prayer.
Around
it's...
the same time? Like in late October?
Yeah. It was like All Hallows Eve.
Right.
And
weird.
Yeah. So they were given out to soulers. Who were mainly either children or poor people or poor children.
Right, because they knew they got something.
Yes. And they would go door to door on All Hallowtide is the name of their, it was before Halloween was a thing, singing and saying prayers for the souls of the givers and friends, especially those who were thought to be in purgatory.
Interesting.
As of now, it's actually still practiced in Portugal and the Philippines, as well as some other places
really?
That I don't care about. I'm just kidding. I just didn't write it down. And so what's funny is nowadays you go door to door and it's like everybody plays along with Halloween.
Sure.
And you know when someone's not playing along because they don't have their lights on.
They turn the lights off.
Or they don't have any kind of decorations. You know that if you go up to a house with a jack-o'-lantern that is lit,
oh,
that house is playing along.
Yep.
We're good. We're good to knock. Along. We're good to play this game.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly how they knew to go to specific doors because people would carve turnips.
Oh.
And light them from the inside. And they were hollowed out turnips with lights inside to signify that there was a trapped soul associated with that house.
Wait, so you'd go and do a prayer for the someone in the house that thought someone had in purgatory?
Yeah. So, like, you just go across the street to your neighbor, knock, knock, knock.
Yep.
Sing a little song.
If Hector, they were playing
your
along.
Neighbor, goes, oh, yeah, my my sister-in-law is deceased and she's in purgatory.
What makes you think that, I wonder?
I don't know. But
what's
I'm not Catholic.
What's the deciding factor?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know any of that. But,
weird.
Yeah. And so, if he had a little turnip on his front porch, you'd know that he was in need of some prayers. And you go over there and you promise to pray. And then they give you a treat.
Get a little cake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that
weird.
Funny? So that's how trick-or-treating started.
Yeah.
And that practice was carried on until like the 1930s in Europe.
In that area.
And yeah. The reason that we do pumpkins here is apparently when the Irish came over, turnips weren't as readily available here as they were over there. But pumpkins were, which I think is a really funny idea. I'm thinking they were like much smaller, less perfectly round orange pumpkins than we have now.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, so they started using pumpkins. They carved faces into them.
So you started carving faces.
There we go. That's how we got a jack-o'-lantern. I have No idea why it's a jack, but the lantern part is because it's lit from within.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really neat.
I'm not sure if it's Weird History, the YouTube channel, or Tasting History with Max Miller, the YouTube channel. Probably both have episodes specifically about jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, nice. I
just recommend to all y'all.
Nice. That's awesome.
So there's a specific song, and there was like tons of different versions of this song, just like our Christmas music or whatever. You know all these songs, but they're not necessarily identical. It was called the Soling Song, and the Cheshire version from 1891 was remade by Peter, Paul, and Mary, recorded as a Solin in 1963, and I have a little clip of it to play for you.
A Solin, like, here we go, a Solin.
But it's S-O-A-L.
Weird. Uh-huh.
Song rips.
And I like it.
It's great.
Wait, who did the song?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, okay.
As in Puff the Magic Dragon.
Right.
Please, good Mrs. A Soul Cake.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, I love these traditions. They're so weird.
And I actually found the lyrics because I couldn't understand what the hell they were saying. But it's a soul cake. Please, good Mrs. A Soul Cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. One for Peter, two for Paul. Three for him who made us all. God bless the master of this house, the mistress also, and all the little children that round your table grow. Likewise, young men and maidens, your cattle and your store, and all that dwells within your gates, we wish you 10 times more. It keeps going, but
wow.
Cute.
I thought it was pretty adorable.
Yeah, that's amazing. I just love humanity. I love that we do that.
I love that Peter, Paul, and Mary took a song from 1891
yeah.
that they have nothing to do with
right.
and mm-hmm. turned it into a song that is on the same album as Puff the Magic Dragon.
Wild.
Uh-huh.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And like, we're doing it now, we just don't know it. We're taking
oh, totally.
Old traditions and adding things to it, you know, with the movies and the IP, like Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's just a tradition that will just keep evolving and in 100 years from now, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Maybe not even recognizable. Who
right.
knows? It'll be totally different, but maybe the same in other ways. It's pretty cool. I love it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that is pretty common during Halloween is that we like to be scared through horror movies and haunted houses.
You do.
Yeah, I do. And so does Ash. Well, let's talk about that. So there is a place that is the most, I Googled most intense haunted mansion.
Ooh.
There is a place called McCamey Manor. Have you ever heard of this place?
No, where is it?
I realized that I've actually watched a video of this before. So it originally was in San Diego, and now it's, I think, in Tennessee.
So it's been moved? Or
yeah.
Like, is it haunted like a haunted attraction?
No, sorry. It's like a scare.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
Yeah,
yeah,
a scare. And Russ McCamey is the guy who started it. You have to sign a 40-page waiver to enter. It used to start where people would, if you could just donate dog food or
uh-huh.
or food or money to animals, he let you in. But now it's like just whatever you can donate.
Okay.
It's fucked. It's not like what we did in Tennessee, which
yeah.
was like genuinely scary. No, 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 no. You have to...
a 40-page waiver is a lot to agree to.
No, it's like, it's torture. They torture you. They tie you up. They slap you. They beat you. They waterboard you.
Why would anyone want this?
They have like a 20,000 wait list to get in.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like really, really intense. People's bones have been broken. Someone had a heart attack once. It's a whole thing. He's been sued countless times. So you have to be 21 and over, or 18 to 20 with parents. You have to complete
Can you imagine going with your parents for that?
Yeah, look at the picture.
Oh my God.
And the actors they basically just do whatever they want to. You can leave whenever you want. You can say, like, the safe word or whatever, I'm done, and then you're done. But it's like a badge of honor to not. And so people just push themselves, and people will go back and try to get even more into it. And it's crazy. He used to offer a $20,000 prize if you can make it to the end, and no one ever has.
Oh, my God.
And then
I just keep saying, oh my God.
And then he took that away because he realized that was like the wrong reasons for people to want to do it.
Yeah.
So now it's just like people that, and people, there's a video of a lady flying. She lives in like Dubai or something, somewhere in the Middle East. And she flew all the way to America just to do this
thing. To get tortured.
To get completely miserably. They shaved her head by the
end of it.
What? And she's just standing there like shaking. She's like, I'm really proud of myself just for making it this time. Because she quit the first time.
Aww. Go skydiving. I don't know.
You have to get a physical from a doctor. You have to get approval from your doctor. You have to have proof of medical insurance. They do a complete background check on you. You have to pass a drug test the day of the thing because they want to make sure that you're totally you.
Yes.
It's not like you took acid and then you go in. You're not allowed to touch the actors or performers, just like any haunted house.
Can they touch you?
They can and do. That's the difference.
That's my problem.
No. That's the difference. It's like the one we went to, hands down, the scariest one I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And they said, we won't touch you, and you don't touch us.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that going into it.
That's a good plan to have.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
But you ain't signing a waiver. You sign a 40-page waiver which says, we will touch you.
We're going
to touch you.
And we're going to hurt you.
We're going to bury you alive. We're going to try to drown you. We're going to tie you up, make you feel like you're being kidnapped, make you feel claustrophobic. You might bleed. You probably will bleed. Like, people come out bruised, bloody, shaved heads. Humiliated, with like makeup on them and mud rubbed in their face.
Nope.
While they were signing the waivers, they were fucking with them. I watched a video of these people signing waivers, and guy came and like took like a wet rag and shoved it in her mouth, and she was like still reading.
Do.
Like, this is a whole nother level.
I worry about the mental health of the people going in. And the people who are doing it.
Well, that's the whole debate.
Because you have to be pretty fucked up.
You got to be real
to want
up.
To do either of those things.
Either end of it.
And if you weren't starting, you are now.
Well, I don't know. This is a healthy debate. Or it makes people that might be inclined to doing that.
Yeah.
They get their rocks off here. They're like, I really like being sadistic.
To Jeffrey Dahmer's of the world.
Or I want to have pain inflicted on me. So I'm going to do this in this controlled environment. I know I can ultimately see that too.
But also...
But like, I hear what you're saying.
If you take it to that level, then where do you take it from there?
Because you
always want to push yourself further, right?
Well, there's a lot of media and article about the guy. Like, he's seemingly normal person.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like just a middle-aged dad dude. But he's like, oh, and the other thing is he films everything.
Okay.
So that's part of it, is like he gets his rocks off to like filming this misery. And then they put it online. There's like a YouTube channel for some of it, I think. You know, whatever's allowed on
YouTube.
There's
an episode of Dark Tourist, apparently.
And it has really mixed reviews. Some people love it. Some people hate it. He's been, like I said, sued a lot. There's a lot of coverage on, like, is that waiver even a legal binding thing?
Right.
Because it's still against law to torture people.
Yeah.
It's still against the law to hurt people, you know? But you sign it away. So it's a whole thing.
It's like getting into a boxing ring.
Right.
You know you're going to get hit.
Yeah. And it started in his backyard in San Diego. He would just have, like, three people at a time come out.
Can you imagine deciding?
I know.
I'm going to open up my backyard to people.
To just fuck with
to
people.
To just
torture
destroy
them.
Destroy them.
And at first, he wasn't making any money. Like I said, people bring a couple cans of dog food.
That's,
and that was your admission
the
in.
The other thing is
weird.
Like, so you're actually investing to hurt people and scare people.
Mm-hmm.
But they want it. They want it bad.
They want it bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. People.
I have a stomach ache thinking about that place.
So that's why I started with, like, we love being... You don't, but some people love being scared. We like it. I I don't like boo. I like
that's
the
same.
Yeah, I don't hate like the boo. I you don't mind boo. I hate the boo.
Boo thing. Just makes me pee my pants.
Yeah, it just makes me mad.
Yeah.
But I do like horror movies. I like the idea of the dichotomy of like what was the movie we watched the other night? Haunting in Venice.
Mm.
Which is really not a horror movie. It's right. not at all. But there's a part in the movie where one of the characters asks, like, why would you want to watch scary things, essentially? And Tina Fey, who's one of the people in the movie, she says something about, like, because it makes normal life seem so easy.
Right.
Mm. It's like what we said in the last episode about Return to Oz and, like, children being exposed to frightening stories. And
yeah. That's right.
It gives you, like, a primer for, okay, so if something bad happens, I know I can face it because I face this other thing.
Yeah, you watch Michael Myers chase someone with a knife, and then you're like, oh my God, it's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. The music, and you're like, oh my God, and they got away, or well, that one didn't get away.
I love the idea of a haunted house, like going through and being terrified.
Yeah.
That
I love the production of it.
That's not a big thing I've ever been into, but I totally appreciate it, and I love that.
You would
that
love Not
idea.
Scary Farm, because it's yeah, very safe, very
exactly.
fun.
I just don't want anybody to touch me.
No, mm-hmm. and they don't there.
I don't want anybody to hurt me.
No,
and
me neither.
That's
my line.
Is the difference, because it's kind of like, there is a difference between enjoying scaring people mm-hmm. that you know are perfectly safe.
Yeah.
That then will laugh afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And actually tying them up and yeah. injuring them.
Injuring them.
And
hurting them.
Yeah.
Scaring them. Emotionally scarring them.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Wow. So there's levels to the, like, I want that feeling, mm-hmm. you know? So.
And hey, I'm not saying I don't think it should be allowed.
Well, a lot of people think we're weird for how many goddamn horror movies we watch in a year.
Yeah.
We are weird.
But it's okay. But there's levels to this. You know, for us, it's like, that's just a Tuesday night. Like, we just really enjoy the production of it and that mode of storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's all it is for us. But for some people, you know, it really affects them. You know, some people can't watch, like, possession movies because they might be religious.
Right.
Or they can't watch.
I used to feel that way.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And it still lingers.
It still lingers for me too.
Yeah.
Like The Exorcist and movies uh-huh. like that. It still triggers that, like, Christian in me.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, being told growing up, like, don't touch a Ouija board.
Still to this day, I'm always telling us, like, that's my line. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can fuck around with other stuff, but, like,
yeah,
don't do that.
And exactly.
It's crazy.
It's a freaking board game by Hasbro.
By Hasbro.
Or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's,
that's right.
It's not demonic right. or evil. There's nothing special
it's
about
you
it.
Think
it's,
it is.
Exactly.
And that's the interesting thing about being scared as humans and horror movies
yeah.
and the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, which is why I love Halloween.
Yes.
Because it can either be that, or it can be, look, that's a Mickey Mouse jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be really fun and safe, and there's a Halloween there for everyone, I think. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I saw a really funny reel of a woman saying that her family doesn't celebrate Halloween because it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing Halloween, they like to dress up and watch
this.
Movies and eat candy.
And the guy's like, you that, just described
yes.
Halloween.
You described Halloween.
That's,
like, that is Halloween.
Yeah.
Definitionally what Halloween is, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sweet. Well, for my offering, of course, I am a nerd, and I use this as an opportunity to spend several hours digging into newspaper archives.
Was this microfiche at the library?
No.
Okay.
It was on my computer. But yeah, I thought about doing it that way because it's more fun when it goes.
Sure.
It's like loading through.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no, I don't think
yeah.
I have.
So I present to you the bonkers Halloweens of early 20th century.
Ooh. Yes.
So first up is the concept of Halloween according to 1956.
Mm. Right.
Okay. So the title of this article is Old Superstitions to Halloween Fun. Ever wonder why children delight in witches, spooks, and scary things at Halloween? Such harmless fun is descended from grim superstitions held by more than 2,000 years ago by primitive people.
Oh boy.
For example, boys and girls who dress up like witches or ghosts are modern versions of unseen evil spirits that were thought to float in the air before the Christian era. Tribes in Britain and France drove away such spirits with magic and human sacrifice.
Oh, I'm sure.
Persons who were considered to be witches were burned at the stake. The modern Halloween bonfire has its roots in the huge fire built on hilltops by the Celts of Scotland and Ireland before the time of Julius Caesar. Black cats have long been considered unlucky. In the Middle Ages, such cats were believed to contain witches and were burned alive on Halloween.
Poor
rude.
Yeah, weird. I don't like it.
Masks such as the funny and scary faces now bought at the dime store have always been connected with man's dealings with supernatural beings. The pumpkin jack-o'-lantern has a double meaning. It makes a weird and shadow-casting spook, but it also represents a fruitful harvest. The pumpkin has been associated with Halloween ever since Romans' feasts to the goddess of the harvest. With the coming of Christianity in Europe, these October 31 customs became less savage. The pagan Halloween became All Hallows' Eve, and the next day, November 1, was All Saints' Day. Still, the old beliefs remained and were carried over to this country by European settlers. Today, grown-ups no longer hold such beliefs, but children have taken over Halloween and turned it from a foreboding time into a mischievous holiday.
Yeah, adults don't like Halloween at all.
What's with the 50s and being, like, you always know it's the 50s.
Especially when she uses that
voice. Yeah, it's probably part of it.
But in words like savagery, it's a tough decade.
It's a Halloween spook.
Yeah. Well, from the same paper, I have another version. This holiday is not for everyone, and here is proof that there have always been whiny little bitches in the world.
Okay.
This article is called Youngsters Old Enough, Middle-Aged Kid Left Out of Halloween Plan. By Byron Autry from Verona, New Jersey.
What year?
1956.
Okay.
Dad was 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can take Halloween and give it back to the Druids who started it, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. You got them.
Some of the other middle-aged kids I know look forward to it with glee, but not this disillusioned boy. I have tricked and treated my last time. The family has agreed to include father out of any Halloween plans. Last time I bobbed for apples, I had a cold for a month.
Oh. Jeez.
Last time I went to a Halloween masquerade, I said the wrong thing to a gal I thought was somebody else. Moreover, I couldn't recognize anybody, but everyone recognized me, a shattering experience. Now, at long last, I have jumped the last Halloween hurdle. Finally, my two youngsters are old enough to shift for themselves. No more cut hands from carving jack-o'-lanterns, no more pumpkin seeds clinging to my elbows, no more burnt fingers from flickering candles. No more long hours skulking in the cold, dark streets, keeping an eye on the kids tricking and treating. No more suspicious glances from passing policemen. No more getting the daylight scared out of me by masked youthful frights popping out from behind trees and mailboxes.
I want my money back.
It's a baby.
Oh, I know. Think positively. Take this weakness in my character and make it a strength. Put more into it. Get more out of it. That's what some fathers do. They're the boys who have the kids in for soda pop, blindfold them, and have them feel wet grapes, telling them that they are the eyes of dead men. They're the playboys who, when a kid rings the doorbell, leap out the door and clad in a sheet, banging cymbals and wailing that they fondly think this is a banshee's cry. No, sir, Halloween is not for me. What a bitch.
What a little bitch.
The bitchiest of bitches. Yep. Oh my God. What a little baby.
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm sure this guy doesn't like Christmas either. You know?
Ash, before we move on, the first one you did, he was making a lot of reference to, like, the old days of, like, witches and pushing spirits out and believing in that shit. I just earlier today heard a story. It was the Weird History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you heard me listening to this earlier. Anyway, it was a story, an account of an early, like, 1400s king. I don't know, maybe the King of England, something like that, European king. Anyway, he crossed the ocean to go meet his wife and, like, bring her back. She was, like, the princess of something, and he went across an ocean, got her, and came back to England. Anyway, on the way back, there was a big storm, and it almost shipwrecked the journey. Instead of thinking it was the weather, He thought it was
his witchcraft. Wife is a witch.
No, he didn't think it was the wife necessarily. He thought it was just witchcraft that people were trying to subvert him in his whatever, his quests. So when they got back, they tortured and interrogated hundreds of women and killed so many people.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Because there was a storm. So crazy.
What a baby.
What a baby.
Well, to that old baby's credit, Halloween can be dangerous, and I have an example of that.
Mm.
This one
razor is... blades and candy?
Yep, yeah, exactly. So this one is from November 3rd of 1900, titled Frightened Girl to Death. Jokers hung an artificial skeleton in her path. That was the subtext. An artificial skeleton frightened Mary Oldfield of Cardale, New York, to death Wednesday night. Miss Oldfield, accompanied by two equally timid friends, were returning from a Halloween party where they had listened to gruesome stories of ghosts and skeletons. When about to enter the woods which separated their home from Cardale Village, a rattling of bones was heard overhead, and looking up, the trio were overcome with terror to see a skeleton of gigantic proportions sweeping down on them from above. With a cry of terror, Mary dropped in her tracks dead. Her two companions made their escape. A searching party found the body of Miss Oldfield, also a wire leading from the ground to a treetop which was attached to the pulley to a skeleton made out of bones of domestic animals.
Whoa.
Sounds yikes. Like Mary just maybe had a heart problem.
I think she had one foot in death's door.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to take much to push her over.
Yeah.
I mean...
So another thing you always hear about is pranks, and it's like, well, yeah, pranks aren't really a thing that they do anymore. I mean, like TPing maybe. Right.
That's the trick.
Yeah. Right. So what's up with the whole old tradition of Halloween pranks? Turns out they not only were a very real tradition, but sometimes ended in property damage, injuries, and even death.
Mm-hmm. You don't really, like, you just don't hear of it at all.
No,
it's
was
not really accepted today.
Yeah, it was very big.
Yeah, like, what did they call it?
Shit, if you do that.
Like mischief?
Yeah, mischief night.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's start with some of the more minor and we'll work our way to the more egregious. So first up, just a very short one from 1922. All of these are from the Lancaster New Era paper.
Okay.
Boys reprimanded for Halloween pranks. Several boys were taken into custody by the police on Tuesday evening for behaving in an unseemly manner on the street while mixing with the Halloween merrymakers. They were taken to police headquarters, where they were given a sharp reprimand by Chief of Police Ekman
before being released. Not a sharp reprimand. Oh, no.
Reports were made to the police that pins or other sharp-pointed things were being used, but the offenders could not be discovered.
What?
Next.
What were they pinning or sharp?
Who knows? It doesn't it doesn't matter.
That's just walking around poking people.
Non-helpful article.
Yep.
Something happened did somewhere. Something somewhere.
And there was sharp stuff involved, but we don't know how.
And a sharp reprimand.
That's right.
Okay. Huh.
And this one is from around the same time. Title: Autoist shot, cars damaged on Halloween. Subtitle: pranks in city and county are revealed as serious menace. Nails, fire, and wire are strewn into roads. Drewmore Center man is shot as he moves obstacles. Okay, here's the text.
Wow.
One man was shot and inestimable damage was done to automobiles in Halloween pranks, it was revealed today. Due to the seriousness of the widespread practice, which has replaced the older form of destroying property on the annual Halloween night, officials are expected to lay restrictions on celebrations in the future. On Halloween night, several owners returned to their parked automobiles to find windows broken, tires badly cut or pierced with nails, wires detached, lights damaged, and other evidence of vandalism.
Sheesh.
In the county, motorists found themselves exposed to great danger as they approached one hazard after another. Wires were reported stretched across some roads. Boards with nails driven through were placed on the highway. Pipes were converted into barricades. Corn shucks were used as obstacles. And in one instance, it was reported that brands of fire were strewn across the road.
Okay. My goodness.
In the city, all of the windows of a large limousine were reported broken. And in another case, a brick was thrown through a windshield.
Yikes. So boredom kicked in.
Yes.
Meth.
It sounds kind of like The Purge.
It does.
Yeah, with all the obstacles.
Yeah.
Weird.
Last one from 1927. Halloween prank is believed to cause $200,000 blaze. So, New Rochelle, New York, October 31st. A fire which police said they believed to be the result of boys' Halloween prank destroyed three tanks containing a total of 150,000 gallons of gasoline and several buildings at the storage yard of the Pure Oil Company here tonight.
This is called terrorism.
A series of explosions which shook the neighborhood marked the progress of the fire as it spread from one tank to another.
Sheesh.
Police said that a group of boys had been shooting firecrackers in the vicinity of the property shortly before the fire started.
Uh-huh.
An unofficial estimate placed the damage at more than $200,000. The flames threatened adjacent property, including a six-story apartment house and several fine residences. Thousands attracted by the fire in the sky came from all parts of the surrounding country to watch the flames. Motor cars along the roads hampered movement of firefighting equipment culled from nearby towns and villages. The combined efforts of firemen of half a dozen communities were required in a four-hour fight before the flames were subdued. Two tanks were the Standard Oil Company, whose storage yard adjoins the Pure Oil Company yard, were drained into the Long Island Sound to prevent further explosion.
Oh my God.
That's awful.
It's a little bit more than just keeping someone's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then right below that, there's a little tiny thing. It's like, Quota Club holds Halloween party. It's like the Quota Club. It's like this nerdy little, like, grammar club for old ladies.
Aww. Can you imagine if the trick thing was still part of Halloween tradition?
Yeah.
Like, ding dong, you open the door and it's just a pie in your face or something.
No kidding.
God damn it, I hate the fucking holiday.
I remember growing up, every once in a while you'd get like some old guy who just thought he was so funny. He'd say trick or treat and he'd say trick.
God.
No.
Yeah, no.
You're looking around like what?
What do you want me to do?
What do you want me? I don't, you're a stranger.
Yeah.
Just give me the candy. Ugh.
No, he wants
creep.
He wants to touch your boobie or something.
He wants you to dance for him. He
wants you to dance for him.
Well, that kind of brings me to the next guy. It's not always little boys that are causing the problems. This title from 1912 is Thought She Was a Cowboy.
1912.
Landlord's defense acquits him of selling drinks to girl. Okay, here's the short article. After setting up a novel defense, Clarence Klotz, proprietor of a hotel at 2nd and New Street, South Bethlehem, was acquitted before Judge Stewart in court at Easton on Thursday on the charge of having sold intoxicating drinks to minors. The prosecution grew out of the death of Florence Vogel, a 17-year-old Allentown girl, who, with Edith Lay, also 17, of Catasauqua, claimed that they were served with drinks at the Klotz's hotel on Halloween. The Vogel girl, who became intoxicated, committed suicide after leaving the hotel by jumping from the New Street Bridge. Klotz testified that the girls wore men's clothes, cowboy hats, which hid their long hair and had their faces blackened, and he had no way of telling who they were or how old they were. Bullshit.
Wow.
Wow.
She killed herself, though?
There was a lot going on there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have the full story. It just reminds me of, like, John Mulaney's bit where, like, how'd you solve crimes any time before? Like, well, now?
Draw
the Scuggins gang.
Yeah.
Draw a chalk line around it. That way we'll know where it was.
It's all based on a hunch. So good. Correct.
So what should an old-timey church mom sanctioned Halloween look like? Here's an example from a YWCA party.
A what?
YWCA party.
What young women's, oh, not young men's.
Oh.
Advertisement in the Intelligencer Journal, 1910.
Okay.
The opening reception and Halloween party will be held at the Young Women's Christian Association on Monday evening, October 31, from 8 to 10 o'clock. A special committee for games and program will meet on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Goblins, ghosts, witches, and gypsies will feature, and the building will be haunted by black cats, bats, and owls, and lighted by jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Proper little thing.
Oh, I was expecting something very different with the Young Women's Christian Association.
Yeah, it's surprisingly open-minded.
I thought you listed all of those cool things, witches, ghouls, goblins, or whatever, and then it was like, which will not be
allowed. Nope, they like it.
We're going to have some...
Just a crucifix.
Yes, some rice cakes and water.
And if you're wondering what games to play at this year's Halloween, the editors of the Intelligencer Journal of 1912 have some great ideas for you.
Okay.
Editors of Intelligencer, this was a question from the readership. Please inform me through your columns what are the most suitable games to be played at a party of young people at a Halloween party. Yours truly, a friend. For a jolly time on Halloween, a masquerade proves most entertaining. Bobbing for apples, pulling candy, roasting chestnuts and naming them.
What?
And telling fortunes are all suitable for the evening.
Bobbing for apples is disgusting.
It is.
Yeah, it's a disgusting practice. You're right.
It's just putting your head in a barrel full of apples and water that other people have had their mouth open in.
Ew.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Ew. And also pulling candy?
Yep.
Like what is taffy.
Like they'll make taffy and then you pull at it until it becomes what you want it.
I would love to do that someday.
Yeah. I would love to roast chestnuts and name them.
We roasted chestnuts in the fireplace one Christmas. Were you there for that?
Yeah.
This project kind of sucks.
See, the thing is that chestnuts these days are not the same thing as chestnuts.
I know.
Also, those are dead.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. We didn't know what we were doing, and it was far too hot, and we didn't have the right things, and we just set them on fire.
Yeah. It was. We were laughing very hard.
Yeah. The whole house was full of smoke. Yeah. It was really funny.
Yeah.
Chestnuts roasting. Like, oh, God.
When my daughter, Lauren, was in Italy, she said that chestnuts are a huge part of Christmas there.
Oh.
Like, they eat them all the time.
Well, Ashley, you are right. There was an old species of chestnuts that apparently
used
to be...
They had, sweet, nutty flavor.
They're a lot better than chestnuts.
And they almost do... Not like popcorn. They don't pop like that. But they... When you put them in the coals or whatever, they, like... The shell pops open. So that the nut inside is, like... edible, and you don't have to peel them and stuff, like, I think.
Interesting.
But the way we did it, we just set them on fire and then still had to like hammer them open, and it was not good. No one ate them.
That's maybe awesome. We had to name them. This one's Gary.
Exactly.
This one's Ben.
Louise over here.
I love Halloween.
Yeah, me too.
It's very fun. It's very stupid and very silly. And that suits me.
I was going to say, that describes us.
Yep.
Just unplugged my headphone.
James just ripped it right from the machine.
I'm back.
Well, should we recommend some content?
Let's do it!
I would like to recommend a movie that is on Netflix called Flora and Son. It's a new movie. 2023, the drama/musical, mostly just a drama, and it's funny. Single mom Flora is at a loss about what to do with her rebellious teenage son Max. Her efforts to keep him out of trouble lead to a beat up acoustic guitar, a washed up LA musician, and harmony for this frayed Dublin family. So it's Eve Hewson, or Eva, I don't know. She's the Irish actress that plays the youngest sister in Bad Sisters.
Yes, I know exactly.
Love her.
What's the name of the movie again?
It's called Flora and Son.
Okay.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a musician who is giving her guitar lessons over Zoom. And that's pretty much all I want to say.
Nice.
But it's funny. She's funny. It's heartwarming.
Yeah, she's great.
And
so it's based in Ireland?
Yeah, she's in Ireland. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in LA, and they have their Zoom calls together, but like during their Zoom calls, it's like they're together and they're walking around in the same space. So it's very cute.
Love it.
It's well reviewed as well. Mm-hmm. Not just by you, but by many.
I will admit that I did not see the first 20 minutes of it. I got home from work and Josh had just started it, and I was like, just keep playing and fill me in.
Nice.
So I watched the rest of it. It was delightful.
Cool. Check it out, man. My recommend pick, as this is the day before Halloween, so you still have time.
Make it happen.
Watch some Halloween stuff, will ya? And you can even do it a few days after the lights are still up, the spook's still in the air. Here's a bunch of movies and stuff for you. Ready? Here we go. Hocus Pocus. Trick or Treat. Have you watched Trick or Treat?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, any of them, any season. If you have Disney Plus, go to Simpsons season, go down to the Treehouse of Horror. It's great. They're all hilarious. There's like 3 or 4 mini episodes within one episode.
Okay.
And they're all so funny and so good. Like when Burns is Dracula, it's basically the movie Dracula, but Mr. Burns is the Dracula.
I love it.
They're so good. Oh, I mean, some of the best Simpsons ever is within the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Okay.
Old Disney Halloween shorts, can't go wrong there. Friday the 13th series, great. Lost Boys. That one.
Thou shall not kill.
Yeah.
There it is.
The or as I sing guy. It, thou shall not pass.
Thou shall not pass. She always does. Addams Family 1 and 2. Any
2 is more of a Thanksgiving movie. Thank
oh, that's
you.
True. Yeah, good
that's
call.
Addams Family Values.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. Any of the Deads? Mm-hmm. Land of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead. Any of them. Night of the Living Dead, that's the original. They're great. Haunt is a really fun one that's kind of new in our repertoire of Halloween movies.
And it fits with the thing you just recommended.
Very much so.
Oh.
Or the...
group of scary. Young adults, they're out on Halloween night, they go to a haunted house thing, uh-huh. like a scare haunted house, and fun ensues.
Yes.
Shit gets too real.
And then there's a similar movie, similar plot called Hellfest, which is basically like not Scary Farm. It's an amusement park horror, like Halloween night,
mm-hmm.
but there's a killer, a real killer loose in the amusement park. So you're going through all
terrifying.
The fun little mazes and stuff, and he's stabbing at people.
Stabby.
For you Disney nerds... which we are.
For you narcs out there.
Yeah. Coco. What a classic.
Oh, so good.
So good. Beetlejuice. Scream. Any of the Screams. Start with one because that's classic. They're so funny. Scream is the campiest, one of my favorite slasher horror series ever. Scary Stories We Tell Ourselves in the Dark. And then there's one with Jack Black and...
Cate Blanchett.
That was pretty overlooked, called The House with a Clock in Its Walls. I think I'm saying that right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun, like more kid-friendly Halloween, like spooky movie.
Okay.
Very, very kid-friendly. Really good. Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
There's a bunch. Interview with a Vampire. Dracula. There's a few more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch them. Just watch stuff.
Just watch stuff.
Just find creepy stuff.
I'm down. That was actually a helpful list because I can never remember anything.
Yeah. Halloween, the new Halloweens are so fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a single one of
Watch
them.
Watch the first of the new ones.
Okay.
You'll love it.
It's a divisive statement.
I think they're good.
Yes.
The last one is pretty lame, but the first of the three are great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The animal hero of the week is Dusty, the very famous and beloved San Mateo kleptokitty cat burglar that everyone knew about from years ago.
Oh, I sent this to you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, this guy's great.
This is Dusty.
Oh, yes.
If you've seen viral videos of cats stealing things, it's probably Dusty.
He is a legend.
Yep. And he passed away earlier this year at 17 years old.
Oh, wow. Good boy.
And he is a very good boy.
He would steal all of the neighbor's stuff.
He's probably in purgatory. Get it?
Yeah, purgatory.
I get it.
Aww.
Apparently, he stole like over 1,000 things from people.
That's incredible.
What
My
a guy.
My favorite was that he stole someone's Converse and then went back the next day and stole the other shoe.
Yeah, he needs
so
both.
So he needed the pair. So good.
What a hero.
We did it.
Yay.
All right, well, happy Halloween, everyone. Have a great Halloween, and we love you.
Into the Monster Mash.
No, I hate that song so much.
No, it's so good.
No, it's not. It's awful.
It was a graveyard smash.
It caught on in a flash.
It's so funny.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of Disney Dependent. See you real soon.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Disney Dependent.
And you can send us an email at DisneyDependent@gmail.com.
This podcast is produced by Producer Ash.
The logo is by Ryan Hatch, and you can find him at WR Hatch on Instagram. The music is by Ryan Knowles, and you can find him at Ryan Allen Knowles on Instagram.
This show is mixed and edited by Deanna Chapman. You can find Deanna at Deanna_Chapman.
And this has been a Team Dynamite Goat production.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back here next week.